When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to this episode of We're Not Fucking Historians. I'm Shane Todd.
And I'm Hazel Hayes. And every time you say that, it does sound more and more like we're not fucking historians.
I know. I think that too. That's the way I read it. But
yeah,
true
yeah.
on both counts.
Yeah.
I can only speak for myself.
I mean, to my knowledge, I'm not currently fucking a historian.
I mean, I am hanging about museums and revealing outfits, but yeah. Hazel, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I've travelled over to do the podcast, as I do.
Yep.
You know, I travel over from Ireland. You live in London now. So let me ask you, what do you miss most about Ireland and what do you not miss about Ireland?
Gosh.
That's a huge
question to kick off the day.
Yeah, but make it something like silly. Don't make anything like
serious. Don't actually say something
grim.
Yeah. What do I miss?
Yeah, what's one thing you miss?
The beach.
What?
The beach.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not really like an Irish thing.
It is. They don't have beaches in London. That thing on the Thames, that little bit of sand.
What about
the grey sand? That's not a beach.
Well, I certainly bought a parasol down there, so.
No.
What about South End? South End on Sea, mate?
No.
It's not a beach?
It's very far away.
Okay.
I disagree. I miss being 10 minutes drive from Dollier, and I miss, you know, like fish and chips on the beach. I miss the Macquarie's.
Right.
I miss Macquarie's specifically.
Okay, and what do you not miss?
I don't miss how appalling the public transport is.
Right.
Like when you think about it, the Dart really just does that one line down the edge of the coast.
Yeah.
But if you want to go anywhere inside of that, you're fucked.
Well, you love beaches so much. Why would you want to go anywhere inside?
I personally wouldn't. I'd just go up and down Donnybrook, Bray.
Yeah, public transport in Ireland's kind of like, you know, we'll get there when we get there.
We'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do enjoy the tube. As much as I complain about it, it is nice that there's just stops everywhere. These weren't particularly funny answers. I'm sorry. I'm not a comedian.
Well, beach actually was a great answer because this is my episode where I am, you know, the expert this time.
Yeah.
I've got a subject and it couldn't be more related to beaches and water if it tried. HMS Titanic, what do you know?
Wow. What do I know? I mean, probably more than a lot of other topics we've discussed.
Okay.
But a lot of it is based on James Cameron's film Titanic,
yes.
Obviously. So
you're a fair weather Titanic fan.
I am.
And a lot of yous are. Unlike me, who is a massive swat for all things Titanic.
Wait, before this episode?
No. Oh. what about like half an hour ago where someone on the production team mentioned an episode we'd done and then I had no knowledge about it. And it was me being the expert.
They brought up Brian Boru.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the Battle of Clontarf dude. And you were like, I don't know.
I thought it was a new fella started working here. Once I leave this studio,
it's
all
gone.
Information.
I do feel like that. I cram for these like I used to cram for tests. I haven't felt like a student in so long. And then the information is just gone about 4 days later.
Whenever I like travel home, like whenever I fly home and you take all the stuff out of your pockets, go through customs.
Yeah.
That's, I leave my knowledge there as well. I leave my knowledge in a sep. They go, you got to bin all liquids that are over 100 mils.
Yeah.
And also any history knowledge that you've learned. But listen, we got to talk about the Titanic.
Let me
take you back to 1912.
It's over 100 feet longer than Mauritania and far more luxurious. Your daughter is far too difficult to impress, Ruth.
So this is the ship they say is unsinkable.
It is unsinkable.
It was a time of optimism.
Was it?
In Britain and Ireland. It was, yeah. Industry was thriving. All different industries. You know, you've got shipbuilding. You've got multiple other industries.
Yeah.
Coal. Linen. What other industries are we in?
I don't want to help you because this bit is very funny.
Linen, coal,
linen
shipbuilding.
And coal. Mostly it was linen,
leather.
And coal. I would say leather.
Leather. Yeah.
A lot of leather getting produced in England at the time, was there? Okay.
Yeah. So there was also home rule, political and military crisis in Ireland at that time.
Oh, we're coming up on the rising. So yeah.
And people left school at 13.
Oh.
So a lot of idiots walking about. And women were second class citizens.
So not much has changed.
Well, amen, sister. So shipbuilding. Now, I'm from just outside Belfast and we were absolutely killing it. Not a great choice of words with hindsight. We were absolutely killing it when it came to shipbuilding.
Yeah.
We were knocking it out of the park. If you needed a ship, you gave my mates a shout.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we built you a ship. Say no more about it. So the Titanic derives the name from the Titans of Greek mythology. It was built in Belfast. And a lot of people do know that. And we celebrate it a lot. We have the Titanic Visitor Centre. We have the Titanic Quarter. And when you hear what happens to the Titanic, if you didn't already know, it's very weird that we would celebrate it.
There's no one listening to this who doesn't know what happened to the Titanic. Also, isn't it a bit sad that every monument, everything that Ireland celebrates is a fucking tragedy.
Yeah.
Do we have anything that ended well?
No.
I can't think of a single thing.
No, even Westlife, we still celebrate the guys, but when Brian left...
So not the same. Michael Flatley, can't celebrate him anymore.
Why? Has he done something?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, no, God.
He hasn't done anything.
He's
just a bit of a muppet, isn't he? Because he left Riverdance and he went off to start his own gig, Lord of the Dance? Not Flies, Dance. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Michael Flatley stars in Lord of the Flies, a one-man play where he plays every role.
All of them.
I'd go see it.
I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, look, we celebrate it in Belfast because it was a big commission. It was a big commission at the time. There was three Olympic-class ocean liners that were going to be built. The first was the RMS Olympic. Now, only like weird shipbuilding guys listening are going to go, oh yeah, one of my favourites.
The Olympic, yeah.
There was another one and a third one. Oh, the other one was the HMS Britannic. Oh. And then we had the Titanic.
Okay.
The Titanic, how many feet do you reckon? Length. Have a guess.
How long was the Titanic?
Yep. Don't say 3.5 hours.
12,000 feet.
882 feet.
That's, mine was
and
way
9
too
inches.
Long.
Yeah.
Mine was way too long.
How many tons? Give it a guess.
Oh, 50.
46,328.
I'm not good at any kind of measurements, clearly.
Now, you see ships, like cruise liners nowadays, they're way bigger, but at the time, the Titanic would have blown people's mind. All three of these ships had 10 decks. We had 833 first-class passengers.
Right.
Cha-ching, they're loading it. 614 in second class and 1,006 in third class. So there was 2,453 people on the Titanic. First, second,
souls.
And third class.
Why do you always hear it referred to as souls when it's a ship? Do you know what I'm saying? There were 2,000 souls on the Titanic.
Yeah, nothing good ever happened to souls.
Right. Whenever you hear souls, you're like, well, that's not going to end well for them, is it? If we're not calling them people anymore.
No, 12 souls didn't win the lottery in a syndicate.
Exactly.
So the Titanic was built in a dry dock in Belfast that you can still visit today in Harland and Wolff Shipyard. It cost, how much do you think it cost to build?
Oh, look, I've got them all so fucking wrong so far. How much did the Titanic cost? Jesus, 100 grand.
$310 million in today's money. The main guy that built it was called Thomas Andrews.
Well, I was going by their money then.
Oh, their money then, $3 million, which in today's money is $310 million.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
How much were they expecting to make off it? Clearly more than $310
million. Yeah, I think they were expecting it to have more than one trip. So we built Harland and Wolff in Belfast. We built it. And I have a big... Get right for this. This is the first story, I think, where there's a BFL, a big family link. This is it. This is it. My granda worked in the shipyard. He worked in Harland and Wolff.
Stop it.
Yep, correct.
I love that.
Yeah.
So he kind of contributed to...
No. Years after it was built.
Oh, okay. You didn't say... So he didn't help build the Titanic.
Well, I think the legacy...
I was thinking, he must be quite old.
Yeah.
My granddad was born in 1921.
Yeah, well, relatively isn't an old guy, but no, he... Yes, I do have a deep family link to Titanic, and that is my grandfather worked at a shipyard where they built the Titanic.
Where they built it, but after they built it.
Decades later.
Great.
In no way...
That's a link. No, I'm going to call that a link.
Some would say in no way he contributed the Titanic, but those who saw him work would say different. Such was the mastery of his work, and he worked in the canteen. But another fact is, this genuinely, my granddad, who was, let's just say, a bit of a character.
What was his name?
Dennis.
I'd like to just refer to him as Dennis now, please.
What I mean by that is, he was a thief. He was a bit of a character. He was a thief, and he stole a roast turkey that was meant for the Queen. That's irrelevant.
Fair fucks to him, I say.
I don't think there was an anti-British element to it. I think it was more just a hunger motivation.
Fancy the chicken.
Yeah.
Love it.
And the big thing people say about the Titanic with Belfast, the defence that Belfast people give of the Titanic, obviously it sank, is it was grand when it left here. That's the big line people say.
It's fine last time I saw it.
Yeah, here. It was all right when it left.
Wasn't a bother on it.
And it got from Belfast to Southampton, no bother.
Do you know what? It was fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was doing well.
Going grand.
That iceberg was unfortunate.
Yeah. It could be argued, yeah.
It could be argued. And I know that there was all those problems with how it was made, but it was floating.
Yep.
It was floating when it left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the maiden voyage. It went from Southampton to New York, so
a lot of...
Well. The thought was there. The thought was there, and that's the main thing. It's a thought that counts.
Thought that counts.
So it went from Southampton. The idea was to go to New York. 100,000 people waved it off. That's what... See, back in the day...
I know,
there's times,
nothing else to
no.
do.
Do you... Like, imagine if I said to you now, right? Imagine if I said to you, after this recording, there's a boat 50 miles away that's going to go somewhere. We're not going anywhere on it.
Yeah.
But do you want to go and wave at the people that are on it? 100,000 nerds went down to wave
absolute
a ship off.
Yeah. I went on a cruise once and no one came to wave that off.
No. Coal was used to fuel the Titanic's engines. But before they could be fired up, the workers had to use 22 tons of soap to make sure it could slip into the water smoothly. 22 tons of soap.
Sorry, what?
22 tons of soap.
What are you talking about? Hold on. Coal was... That was a weird sentence. Coal was used for the engines.
Yeah.
But separate to that, on the outside of the hull, they had to soap it up. Like when you get your head stuck between the banisters as a child.
I picked your head. They had to soap it up
to get
it out.
You never get your head stuck in the banisters.
Yeah, and then I just like removed it with a...
No, once it's in, it's in.
How often? You said this more than once.
Every child in the family got their head stuck in those banisters at some point or other, and all my cousins.
As like a ritual thing?
Like,
people
I don't
get
know.
A certain age in your family.
It's a curiosity. Like at some point you reach the age where you go, I wonder if my head could fit in that banisters. It can.
That actually did happen to me in Tenerife.
See?
Yeah.
Sorry, wait, how old were you?
I don't know, 23?
This was last week.
Yeah. So they had to soap it up. They had to physically soap it up to get it into the water. It weighed... 24,000 tons when it was launched, but it weighed more than that when all the passengers were on it and there was more stuff on board, making it one of the largest man-made structures of its time.
Wow.
So at the time, This is huge news.
Huge news.
They're launching a boat. That was front page news. And it was sort of it was science. People loved it because it was like such a scientific thing that they had this size of boat. Man could build this size of boat and send it from Southampton to New York. It set off on the 10th of April, 1912, from Southampton to go to New York. Everyone's buzzing about it.
Everyone was there.
In today's money, how much do you think it would have cost? They've worked it out.
I think we've established I'm not going to get this question right.
So in their money, it was £5. That's how much it costs for a third class ticket. In today's money, what are you saying?
Well, if 3 mil was 300 mil, then...
Oh, no, you found the formula.
The math would seem to suggest that it's 500.
£500.
Yes! So I got actually, one right!
It's quite a lot of money. It's quite a lot of money.
500 for a person who does not have a lot of money.
Yep. But also, and this is the thing, later on we're going to talk about how the movie, there's a lot of myths in that just were not true, but obviously they're making a movie. And one of the things that in third class, you were basically like in a cupboard. You know what I mean? Like third class was brutal. Conditions were cramped.
They
all
made it look like an absolute knees up.
The reality was third class was actually quite luxury. Like the people would have really enjoyed it. It was spacious, hot and cold water.
Oh.
I wouldn't even expect that now if I was on a cruise. I mean, if they just said,
Shane, we need to have a talk about your standards.
If they said, listen, there's only cold water, you pay extra for the hot. I'd be fine with that. So what I'm saying is
you've been taking Ryanair flights too much. That's your problem.
Yeah, that's true. You've got thousands of people on the Titanic.
Okay.
Majority of them are going for a new life in New York.
Okay.
There's so much optimism. Now, no spoilers.
Yeah.
But we'll pick this up after these messages.
Okay.
Let's just say, don't get your hopes up.
No.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So welcome back to the second part of my Titanic story. So, where are we at, Hazel, so far?
She's been lubed up and slid into the ocean.
Take her to sea, Mr. Murdoch. Let's stretch your legs.
Yes, sir.
Southampton, away we go. 100,000 people waving it off.
Yeah.
You know, probably too enthusiastically. You're like, just chill out. You know what I mean?
Calm down, go home.
Yeah, they're still waving. It's like 3 miles out to sea. You're like, go home and do something else. Yeah. But these people love it. There were some very famous people on board, including J.P. Morgan, who owned the Titanic.
J.P. Morgan?
Yep. The bank guy.
Wait, did he survive?
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, I don't know.
He was scheduled to be on this maiden voyage.
Right.
But he cancelled at the last minute. And there's all these conspiracy guys going, he's got something to do with it. But apparently the big man just had like a bit of a chest cold. He's like, listen, I'll sit it out.
There must be so many stories of people who couldn't make it that day or almost bought a ticket and didn't.
There was 50 people, 50 passengers that cancelled for various reasons.
Yeah, but they're just the ones who had a ticket and cancelled. Think of all the people who also were going to go or couldn't buy a ticket for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't get the money together.
Yep.
And they're like, thank fuck.
Yep. Well, J.P. Morgan owned the Titanic.
Crazy.
And couldn't be there, but some of his rivals were on board, some other bank guys. So we don't have time to go into this.
Okay.
But the first 3 days of the voyage are fine.
Plain sailing, you might say.
Plain sailing, the open sea.
Blue skies.
There's the surf machine up on the top deck.
Yeah,
you know, you want to do a bit of surfing.
They have a cinema on board at the time.
There's a cinema. Yeah, Flubber, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
All the movies of the time. All the 1912 movies.
Yeah.
There's a concert.
Oh.
Steps.
I'm really glad they had a nice few days.
Yeah. It couldn't have been better.
Great.
It couldn't have been better.
Okay. And were there dogs on board? Sorry, that's a weird question.
Yeah, I also obviously don't know the answer to that. Also, this is a very sad tale. Oh, why don't we just add the death of dogs into this to take it down a notch?
Oh my God, I really surprised myself.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
No, based on
nothing, I'm gonna officially say there were no dogs on board.
No, there were, because there are in the film. No, Shane, what happened? I want to walk you through my process. My brain
Please
was
don't.
Like, I just hope that they had the nicest possible time before they died. And then I thought, what would I want? And I thought, a nice dog. But then I forgot that the dog would also die. So if anything, I hope there weren't dogs on board.
I feel I need to make something up. There was a separate dog rescue boat.
Okay.
And they were all fine.
Great.
They were all fine. Here's the thing. It was not uncommon for accidents and things to happen below deck that the passengers would know nothing about. 10 days before the ship's departure, there was a big fire in one of the coal bunkers. And like it burnt and burnt for several days into the voyage, but the passengers didn't even know anything about
it. No way.
So there was all these big ships and all this stuff was happening.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes you're on a flight and the air stewardesses and stuff are like, yep, everything's all good and stuff. And then you hear them go, there's no hot chocolate. We've run out of hot chocolate, but they don't want to announce it to the whole plane. But you know, when you're looking at other people, like trying
to
communicate.
They're panicking.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, can I get the hot chocolate? There's no problem, is there? Well, then I'll take a hot chocolate.
You'll have one as well. Yeah. This lady next to me will have one as well.
Hot chocolates for the plane.
All round, I'm buying.
So there's a lot going on, but it's never really cause for alarm.
Okay.
Plus, the captain knows what he's doing. He's very experienced. There's lookouts all the time because they know they're going to be going through icy waters.
Oh,
but there is that famous sort of phrase, whatever, that the Titanic was unsinkable. But they said, here's the thing, in defense of the guys who built it, they said, it's basically unsinkable.
It's more or less unsinkable.
Chances are it's unsinkable, but it might be sinkable.
They misquoted
and it was.
Them. I think they misquoted them.
So so they knew that they were going to run into icy waters, but they thought, listen, it's going to be no problem at all. So the Titanic was planned to arrive in New York, Pier 59 of the morning of the 17th of April. And in the Nantucket Shoals, that's the area where they hit the iceberg, they hit it. Now, it was sort of thought that the Titanic was big enough to absorb hitting an iceberg if they hit it straight on. I don't know if that was ever
But we all film. Know from James Cameron's film Titanic that
it didn't hit it straight
it
on.
It did not hit it straight on.
No.
It hit the side and it slashed a massive fucking hole down the hull, didn't it?
There was warnings. The other ships were basically giving them a heads up, you know, WhatsApp or whatever.
Yeah.
Lads.
Yeah.
You know, keep an eye out.
Why weren't they keeping an eye out?
Just the eyes emoji. And then ice.
The shifty eyes emoji. Yeah.
in a place called the Grand Banks of Newfoundland, the captain, Edward Smith, chose to ignore these warnings. Bring on the icebergs. We don't give a fuck.
We'll put them in our sherries. That's what he said. Do you have ice and sherries? I don't know. Margaritas.
At 11:40 on the 14th of April, the lookout guy was called Frederick Fleet. he spotted an iceberg immediately ahead of the Titanic and alerted everybody. The first officer ordered the ship to be steered around the obstacle, which I think is quite sensible. To be like, listen, yeah, giant iceberg, mom will just swerve around it.
But they would have been better off if they just gone straight ahead.
Well, this is apparently so. They go into like panic mode, basically, but it's too late. The starboard side of the Titanic hits the iceberg, creates a series of holes below the waterline. And now here's the thing.
Which is not where you want the holes to
absolutely
be.
Absolutely not.
You'd rather the holes were above the waterline.
One in the blowhole thing?
Yeah, yeah, fine.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't know, Scott. I don't know anything about ships. But
and tell me this, Shane. Is starboard left or right on a boat?
It depends what way the boat's facing.
I see.
It could be your left or my right. Who knows?
Wow.
But people didn't know. People didn't know the damage that had happened. And in fact,
they must have felt the impact.
They felt the impact, but there wasn't like a sense of panic.
Oh,
there wasn't a sense of panic at all. I think it was around midnight. They knew like this whole thing is going down, and water starts spilling everywhere. Now, there's a myth here that stuck with me throughout the film that always pissed me off and made me go, oh, that made me really angry.
Was it Billy Zane?
No, well, I actually thought he was great in it.
Oh, he's wonderful, but like what?
He was a prick. Yeah, he's a prick. He's one of the historical pricks.
Absolute
the guy he played, not Billy Zane.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a lovely guy. But the myth was that all the third class passengers got kept below deck and they were locked in.
Yeah,
didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
No. What happened was, by the way, as it starts going down, they get the lifeboats ready. To have lifeboats for everyone
they
on board,
they did not have enough lifeboats.
They would have need double the lifeboats for the amount of people that were on board, because obviously it's going to go down on one side.
Yeah.
So it wasn't possible. But the lifeboats were nearer to the first and second class cabins.
Okay.
Those people, just because of where they were, happened to get on first. Only about a third of people could be accommodated in the lifeboats. So at about 10 past two, 2.5 hours after they hit the iceberg, the rate of sinking like suddenly goes and it ducks underwater. Also, there's an account of the main baker on the Titanic, because you know people want those croissants.
They do, yeah.
This apparently there's just this fat guy who's a baker who's blocked at the time it went down, and he gave an account where he said he just stood on top of one of the railings. Which, by the way, in my logic, this is what I would do.
Yeah.
He just waited till the last. He just kept like climbing up, and
he waited till
it went down at the last minute. Then apparently, and there's eyewitness accounts for this, apparently, as it goes down, he just like goes into the water with it, doesn't get his hair wet, and then just swims for a bit and eventually got a new boat. But I don't know if that's true. There's so much of this that like, it's people giving their own accounts of it.
Yeah.
So you're going, you're just, this is bullshit.
But if he survived, then he, I mean, he did that.
Yeah, he survived. So yeah, people think the ship sank in one piece, but it fully broke in two. Any passenger that didn't go out in a lifeboat were in the water, but it was minus two. So apparently you could only survive for like 15 to 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
Around 4 a.m., the Carpathia? Carpathia?
Carpathia.
Aye, that one. Arrived on the scene in response to Titanic's distress calls, which, by the way, that's after the horse is bolted.
Yeah.
Don't arrive at 4 a.m. Oh, emergency, is it? Yeah, when we phoned you 3 days ago.
Yeah.
But apparently the thing with that was, so the Carpathia was a smaller ship and they didn't know the Titanic was the Titanic. They thought it was a far smaller ship because of, it's something to do with hot air. Don't ask me what it is.
What?
It made the Titanic look smaller than what it was. So this other ship is like, I don't know, 4 miles away or 400 miles away or some shit. And they got the distress calls, but they think it's too dangerous. If there's ice, we're going to go and try and save a few people that are on this. They don't know it's the Titanic.
Right.
So their captain basically made the call not to go. But then when he found out it was a Titanic, he said, listen, guys, I fucked it big time here.
Oh, God.
Big time. 710 people survived and about 1,500 lost their lives. But some people did, obviously, in rescue boats and stuff. They eventually got to New York. And my hope is that some of them got pints. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, God, you'd hope so.
You know
at least
mean?
A hot toddy with a little blankie in the hotel.
How long do you leave
lobby?
It before you go, listen, I know this has been a nightmare, but...
Not long at all. Not long at all.
Is there stout? In the aftermath, there was an investigation like the week it happened, because there was so many rumours of mismanagement. White Star, who were the owners of the Titanic, got sued for negligence and there was big investigations into them, but they were cleared.
Mm.
There was insurance scandals and... There's loads of myths about the Titanic.
There's so much that I never really have known which bits were true and not.
Promise me now, Rose. And never let go of that promise.
The lasting thing with me is the, you know, when they're in the water.
Shane, I'm not having this discussion
when
again.
When they're in the water.
I'm gonna let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Yeah, there's completely room on that. There's completely room on that bit of wood.
Ample room. And
it's bothered me to this day. Like, obviously not as a story because it's not true, but as a filmmaker, I just feel like I'd have said to the props department,
smaller craft.
Could you get us a smaller bit of wood? Because I just feel like it's quite integral to the story. Like, we've got 3 hours we spent with these people.
Yeah.
Now she's going to go, oh, sorry, there's no room on the bit of the plank. Like, just get a smaller plank so that there is no room.
Yeah, her raft was half the size of the Titanic, which is crazy. You know, there was definitely, there was enough room.
He could have fit.
He could have fitted. But look, here's the thing. The movie, which is what how people get most of their knowledge from it, grossed $1.8 billion.
Huge.
What about that? And okay, the main takeaway from this is she should have let him on to the raft. Leonardo DiCaprio.
She should have let.
But here's a story you might enjoy.
Yeah.
Went to go and see Titanic.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
Yeah.
And I was like 2 years. Titanic might have been a 12. The film.
What was it, 97?
I remember there was bucking in the car. Remember?
There was a bit of bucking in the car.
That's right.
The old hand on the window.
Yeah. And it slides down though.
That's a lovely sex scene actually.
Yeah.
As
the bucking in the car.
Yeah, I think it was quite romantic.
Yeah. Not when you call bucking in the car.
Not when you say bucking in the car, no.
But yeah, we went to see that in York Gate Cinema and I think it was a 12. My mom said, now here's the date of birth you're going to have to give, because I was maybe like 11 or 10 or whatever. And my mom's like, here's your date of birth. And I would recite it back to her because we were having a meal beside the cinema. What's your date of birth? I would give it.
Yeah.
What's your date of birth? Give it. Kept going and going. Got up to the thing of the cinema. The guy working there goes, what's this man's date of birth? I just gave my genuine date of birth. And he's like, I can't let you in to go see this.
You're such a liability.
Yeah, we went to see something else instead.
So did you not see it in the cinema?
I saw it years later.
But not in the cinema, on the big screen. Shame.
No, I know.
It's the only good thing about that film really is seeing it. I loved it. I was a stupid little hormonal teenage child woman who had so many feelings.
Yeah.
So many feelings. And I remember, firstly, I went to see it 3 times.
Weird.
Yep, no, crazy. I had a Titanic poster in my room for many years. I asked the cinema, could I have the poster that was up outside when you're done with it?
And they gave
it. I had the cinema poster. It was fucking enormous in my tiny
50 feet by 20.
In my tiny purple bedroom. It took up like the whole wall. And I distinctly remember, this is so embarrassing, on one of the viewings, and we sobbed through most of them, right?
I did too.
Sobbing. I turned to a friend and she like gripped my hand and I gripped hers. And I said, it's just that it actually happened. And we just sobbed and sobbed. And like, it did actually happen.
But not the way the
Rose
cinema
Rose Drew Vicator is not a real person.
Yeah.
And that love story is not real.
Yeah.
But I really struggled with it because I couldn't. Most movies I'd seen up until that point in my life had been fictional. And here I was watching an actual, like these people were drowning and freezing. And I was like, that did actually happen though.
Yeah. Well, the last myth I want to leave you with is.
Excellent.
Because like you say, the movie is what people think happened. And the only thing is like the movie is the Titanic sunk. That's the only similar thing that happened. But the big myth is that as the ship went down, the band continued to play.
Yeah.
And they played a hymn as the ship went down.
Is that true?
Bollocks.
Shane!
Imagine you're in a band and someone goes, mate, do me a favour. When you're trying to like get off and save your life, you go, are you taking requests? Oh my fuck, I'm trying to not die. Of course the band didn't continue. I think they knocked out one song.
Wonderwall.
Yeah. They were like, oh, no way.
2 days. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was really beautiful.
No, that didn't happen.
They were like, oh, we're going to die anyway, so we'll die doing what we love.
Yeah. No. They played one song.
They did play a hymn, but they didn't play as it was going like down.
Yeah, of course, because of course they
did
didn't.
Did they survive?
The band and the dogs lived happily ever after.
I'm so glad to hear it.
If you or any listeners ever find yourself in Belfast, I will take you on my own Titanic tour.
It's a lot like the puffin tour that you went on, where there were no puffins.
Well,
so when you take people on the Titanic tour, there's really not much to see.
My Titanic tour basically involves me taking you to the Titanic Visitor Centre, finding a registered tour guide and going, hey, take it from here. If you enjoyed the podcast, rate us, review us. Not even on Apple or anything?
No, just
yourself.
Just to yourself in the kitchen there.
Yeah, but yeah, there's loads more episodes. Who knows what we'll talk about next time?
Who knows?
And there's one happy takeaway from this, and that is this is the first time we've ever done an episode where no monk got murdered. There we go.
That deserves a clap. No monasteries got ransacked in the making of this particular podcast.
I've been Shane Todd.
I've been Hazel Hayes.
You do that. You do the, and until next time, you do that. Yeah, I think you're better at that.
Okay, but we're going to leave all that in.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And until next time, we're not fucking historians.
I thought you were going to say until next time, remember, we're not fucking historians. You completely blindsided me with that, and I just feel left out.
Oh. Should I do it again?
Yeah.
And until next time, remember,
we're not fucking historians. You're supposed to do that at the same time.
I thought, oh.
Let's just leave it here. Cheers. See you next time.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.